You see, what men exalt, you see, God does not exalt it. Now, it takes somebody who God has, you know, visited for him to, know what God exalts. I tell you the truth. The things God exalts are not what to exalt. And that's why if we really want to preach the word of the Lord, you see, the true word of God, you see, the true word of God is very, very not interesting to the flesh. You see, whenever I want to go on a retreat, my favorite preacher, there is no preacher that makes me sleep like him. You see, whenever I want to go on retreat, he's the one I listen to. He makes me sleep a lot. You see, but he preaches what is important to God, and the thing is usually very boring to my flesh. But because I am on a retreat, I just want to hear God, I listen to him. Because what we exalt, you see, in the flesh, God does not exalt it. What we chase is not important to God. You know, but there are people who are going to love the Lord enough, you see, to love what he loves, even though what he loves, you see, is not popular amongst men. Now, one of the things that is not popular amongst men, what we don't count as important, is when families, you see, families gather and families make God their priority. Whether biological family, whether a community of friends, or however, whenever people make God priority, is usually a glorious thing. In the book of Luke chapter 16 verse 15, I think it says that, "Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts," you see. "For that which is highly esteemed among men," that which is highly esteemed amongst men, highly esteemed amongst men, you see, highly esteemed, that which is highly esteemed amongst men is abomination in the sight of God. So you see that God does not esteem what we esteem. And it takes a lot of courage, you see, to lead a life that is esteeming what God esteems. It takes a lot of courage. I tell you the truth, that many times a lot of our interactions border around that which men highly esteem, you see, which men highly esteem. A lot of us usually tilt towards what men highly esteem, but I believe that the Lord is doing a work in our hearts, touching us and giving us a supernatural experience, you see, that will make us esteem that which the Lord esteem. Glory to Jesus. Can you give me some seconds? Let me drink some water. So you see, thank you. So you see, a lot of us, we need the Spirit of God to spiritualize our senses, you see, and make us esteem the things that God esteems, you see. But when you begin to esteem the things that God esteems, you know what? The traffic towards you is going to reduce. You are not going to attract men. You see, the power of God is attractive to men, but his ways are not attractive to men. And then a lot of us are in bondage, in the bondage of being accepted by men. And this bondage has made it difficult for the Spirit of the Lord to find free course in us. Listen. The reason why our lives is this expensive to live is because we have chosen to give people pleasure. The reason why our life is expensive is because we have chosen to give people pleasure. When you choose to give God pleasure, your life will no longer be, it will not be tough to live anymore. You will come into grace and contentment, you see. But not the contentment of the hopeless, but the contentment of the satisfied in God, you see. And so, there are things that rank high with God, but don't rank high with men. And that's why, when we get to heaven, the people that you think are the greatest men of God, you see, they are not necessarily the greatest, because the parameters of which you chose them, you see, are the parameters of things that men exalt, you see. And so you will be shocked that you don't even know the greatest men of God, because the ones you thought were greatest are the ones who packed the stadiums. Now, do you know that Jesus said that one of the places that he always goes to, anywhere, one of the places you would always find him, I tell you the truth, that he recorded in scripture, he said it, and it was recorded. You see, these are not the places we love to go to. For example, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in their midst. You see, where two or three are gathered, with two or three people decide to come together, and they come together because of me. Jesus said that I am in that kind of a place. Now, you most likely will not go to a place where two or three are gathered. You will go to a place where hundreds of thousands are gathered. Now, when you go to a place where there are hundreds of thousands, you will scream and say, "Wow, the Lord is here." Because that's what you exalt. That's what men exalt, you see. But the Lord does not exalt what we exalt, you see. So, the reason why we struggle is that we are wanting, you see, what men want for us. You struggle because you want what men want for you. Like, men have said, these things are good. Now, those are the things you want. You don't really want what God wants for you. Now, when you want what men want for you, you will find out that you will be needing more than the grace of God to get it. You will need more than grace. You see, anytime you need more than grace, you see, you are out of the presence of the Lord. You see, because grace does not respond, you see, to the demands of men. Grace is a currency spent in the direction of God's will. You stress too much. You stress too much because you want what men said you should want. Why do people, for example, marry the wrong person? You see, because they want to marry who men said is a great husband and who men said is a great wife. That's why people marry the wrong person, you see. And that's why some people never marry, you see, because they do not have the ability to see who God will have them marry. Because they see farther than God, you see, and they have a more beautiful eye than God. So that's why your man thinks this girl is not fine enough for me, you see, because the men have told him what's beautiful. And the woman also say, this boy cannot take care of me. Because there is what men want for us, you see. But the things that men esteem, I tell you, the Bible says they're an abomination. For example, when we look at things like beauty, for example, you are believers of God's word. Do you know that the Bible said that beauty is vain? You see, beauty is not vain in this world. In the world that we live in, beauty is not vain. In this world, beauty is not vain. Beauty is a lot. Beauty is not vain in this world. Beauty is a lot. You see, beauty is not vain in this world. But the Lord said that beauty is vain. And that scripture was talking about beauty, physical beauty. You see, because it says, you know, the ending part now says, but a woman. Now, when you want to see a woman, you are looking at beauty. You see, he said, that's a beautiful girl because the world has esteemed it. You see, but the Lord says, that thing, that fine face and that snatched body, you see, is a vain thing. He said, but the woman that feared the Lord, she shall be praised. Another place he spoke about Sarah, and he spoke about how her gentility and her fear and all of that is of great price before the Lord. Now, I am saying all of that to say one thing. You see, I've said a lot of things, but I'm telling you that the Lord will touch your heart. You see, the holiness of Jesus. You would have an experience with his holiness. And that holiness will make you, you see, the holiness will make you, you see, it will make you esteem the things that God esteems. You know, yesterday was my first time in an Orthodox church to worship. Yeah, yesterday. I went to an Orthodox church to worship. I tell you the truth. It was a very amazing experience. You see, the service, you see, we're not many, but it's an old church. But we're not many in the service. Maybe in the second service will be many. I think we're just like five in a very big church. They have like two buildings. We use one of their small buildings, but it's a big space. We're just like five, you see. So I went there early to have the Holy Communion. I went there, and the woman was preaching. You see, she was reading from a paper, and then she was preaching, and then the prayers, you know, was very funny to me because they will read something. All of us will now say, by the mercy of Jesus, amen. And then what they asked us to, after she taught, she spoke, she read, then we knelt down to meditate, like to pray, but nobody prayed out. You just kneel down and just be quiet. You see, it was a very, 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 very not anointed. It was an unanointed service, you see. But it was one of my greatest service, you see. Because as unanointed as that service was, God is happy that a few people, you see, are still recognizing him. You see, he's happy that a people who are not feeling the presence, like there is no feeling of God's presence, there is no Holy Ghost, but they can be coming in that dry condition, consistent in the old people whose bones need rest. You see, the Lord was happy that they are coming. And when it was time to take the communion, we were meant to walk out or kneel down, then they dip the bread in the wine and put it in our mouth. So we knelt down and the woman did that and prayed for us. You see, if one was to esteem what men esteem, you will say, Kai, there is no fire. You see, that fire is what men esteem. You see, and then you despise the gathering of God's people. You see, but God is not despising his own people. He's not. Men look at the external, but God is not like that. Now, I want God, you see, to touch your soul. I want the Lord to touch you. I pray that the Lord my God will touch you and make you see the godly things that you walked past, because they are not the things that men esteem. You have walked past a lot of things. You have walked past it. You see, you did not know that the Lord esteems it because your eyes were not pure. You see, we call this meeting spiritualization. You walked past it. You know, Jesus told some people, you see, to depart from him because they are workers of iniquity. He told them, he said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. And then these men were shocked. These men were shocked. You know, I know that this is my preaching. I don't know if you are getting it. It might not be a preaching you esteem. You understand? Because there might be another preaching that you would esteem. I don't know. I don't know where you are in your journey with God. But that's okay. You know, you walked past a lot of things that God was really involved in, but you didn't know. Because they are not the things of men. In the book of Matthew chapter 25, which is a book, you see, it's a book that describes a period of greatest intensity. Greatest intensity, because that book, you see, at a point in that book, it revealed like a pure, there was like a pure unveiling of truth, because Jesus eventually met his people. You see, it was like we were all getting our report card. So it's a book where there is no darkness. It's a true book. In verse 24, when you read that place, we'll go to verse 35. 35 said, "For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. Naked, you clothed me. I was sick, you visited me. I was in prison, you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee? When did we see you as an hungry person?" You see, if you were asked to draw Jesus, if you were asked to draw Jesus, you will never draw an hungry person. You see, you won't. If you were to draw Jesus, you will draw a lion. Have you ever seen a picture of somebody who is selling Jesus? You know, they sell Jesus on the road. They sell him. He looks fine. He wears white. Sometimes they draw him as a lion of the tribe of Judah. But in this place, Jesus Christ said that, "I was hungry." They said, "When did we see you hungry and feed you? When did we see you thirsty?" So you see, sometimes, you see, when you meet somebody who is hungry, you see, sometimes, you see, you just had an encounter with the Lord. You had an encounter. You see, but you do not esteem those things. You esteem what men esteem. You see, when you see an hungry man, you just had an encounter. You see, now your own plan is to meet that is you. You understand? Like, the day I will meet that is you, it will be like I've met the Lord. You see? But every day, the Lord appears to you as an hungry man, you see? And he gives you an opportunity to feed him. You see? But you don't. He gives you an opportunity to give him water, but you don't. He gives you an opportunity, you know, to give him cloth. Now, it is Jesus that came, but you don't know, you can't see it, because you esteem what men esteem. You see, you haven't learned how to esteem what God esteem. Now, when saw we thee a stranger? When saw we thee a stranger? When, and took thee in, or naked? It says, when saw we thee? So Jesus sometimes is sick, according to this scripture, because Jesus Christ said, "I was sick." So Jesus sometimes is sick. How? He manifests, you see, as a sick brother, as a sick sister. He says, "This is me. This is me." You see, you are esteeming when you will leave your body, you see, maybe out of the body experience, and then you will see the Lord. But the Lord said, I already came to you. This is me. You see, yesterday, I had to tell, you see, one of my guys, I told the person, because I told the person to send somebody some money, and the person forgot, you see, and sent it later. So I told the person, don't just send it later. You need to first go and repent to the Lord. You see, because that is the Lord that we did not send the money to early. You see, it's the Lord. It's not a poor person. You have never met a poor man before. You see, all the poor men you met, it was Jesus you met. But you see, you are still fasting for an out-of-the-body experience, you see. And the king shall answer and say unto him, verily I say to you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren. So the Lord says, I am realest. I am realest. I am manifest in the least of the brethren. Now, the least of the brethren, you see, is not what men esteem. Men esteem the greatest of the brethren, you see. Even pastors, even plan their churches for the greatest of the brethren, you see. But the Bible says it is the least of the brethren. You see, if you are a church pastor, church leader, glory home pastor, to grow your church is easy. Go for the least of the people in your community. Go. Get them. Those are the people Jesus wants. Leave these big boys alone. Go for them. Go for people that if you just told them there was dinner, they will gather. Gather them. You can do a meeting of 100 people every night. If you just say there's dinner, they will come. They are the least. We can get them. There are too many strategies of getting them, you see, but we make bigger plans and we plan for bigger things, you see. Then, inasmuch as you have done unto one of the least of my brethren, you have done unto me, you see. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, he says, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was stranger and you took me not in, neither. I was naked, you clothed me not. Sick, in prison, you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you? You know, in another place in scripture, in this, I believe, were the same people who said, we casted out demons in your name. You see, but the Lord says that I do not know you. And that's because you do not esteem the things that I esteem. You see, there are things that God esteems. And then one of those things that God esteems, you know, I believe that as I'm preaching, the Lord is speaking to you. You see, but one of those things that God esteems is when a family decides and says, this family is unto the Lord. You see, God esteems it. You know, November 18, I'll be going to Newcastle to have a meeting, you know, with the brothers in Newcastle. There are like three families for now in Newcastle. You know why? Because there are three families that I know of that are in Newcastle. But I'm going. I'm taking a 5 hours journey to go to Newcastle. I'll do 2 days with them in Newcastle. I'm sure they would invite more people. But you see, that number is a very great number. It's a very great number. That is the number that the Lord said that when two or three are there, the Lord says, I am there. So why would God choose that number and I will not love that number. Why must I love 5,000? Why do I love 8,000? You see, that number is the Lord's number. It's the Lord's number, two or three. It says, and these are even more than two or three. They are like three families, but oh, it's husband and wife. So they are even like six. With children inside the stomach also. So there are even plenty. You see, but a man who does not have the vision of the Lord, you see, would not esteem them, would take them casual. Do you know how many of us are waiting for great days? Do you know a lot of us waiting for things? Whereas God has put a lot of things around us, but we can't see because we judge. Do you know how many of us have our husbands right by our side? Like your husband, you are praying to God to give you a husband, but your husband, he's been with you, but he doesn't have swag. He doesn't have this. He doesn't know how to cut his hair. His hair, he doesn't have a sharp haircut, so he's your best friend. Like, you are just my friend. I cannot see you more than a friend. You are just my believer friend. You are my Christian friend. In fact, our friendship will go, take our friendship to heaven. You are a great friend. Because the husband you want, you see, is the one that men like for you. It's the one that novels the imaginations that men have put in your soul. But this one who loves the Lord, you see, who focuses on the Lord, is not you. Because this one cannot buy flowers, you see. He can be romantic, as you have seen this one, and there is something in your mind that must be fulfilled. But you see, that is the one that God brought. That is the one. And there are a lot of Christian girls who are still imagining that they can just get somebody in the world to marry, you know, who's not a really, really bad, bad person, but maybe have that spice. You see, they despise the one that the Lord gave. There are many men who will not marry some kind of girls. You see, they'll say, this one is not sharp. You need to esteem what the Lord esteem. You see, you need to esteem what the Lord esteem. Now, one of the things the Lord esteems, you see, is family that focuses on him, that makes him priority. When a family focuses on the Lord, you see, when a church focuses on the Lord, you see, the Lord makes them, the Lord loves it. When we focus on the Lord, when we make the Lord priority, when you husband and wife come together, when you call your sister and say, let us read the Bible together, let us do Esther this week, let us do Deborah next week, let's love the Lord, let's pray together. Oh, there is a meeting, there is an online meeting. Let's set the alarm. Let's wake ourselves up. When we gather and focus on the Lord, kabaradina, the Lord loves it. The Lord loves it. When husband and wife say, we fast every Thursday and we pray so time, this is how we do. When the husband and wife and the children are hurrying up to church and they just gather and just want to hurry up for evangelism, these are the things the Lord esteems. The world does not esteem it. But the Lord esteems those things. Can you pray in the Spirit for some few minutes? Can you pray in the Holy Spirit? Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost for some short minute. Hallelujah. Let me give us two scriptures that we'll be tying it and closing with tonight. I'll give you two scriptures that we close with tonight. You know, the first scripture is what we have been reading, what I read, the Luke chapter 15 scripture that I read. Now, some verses after the Luke chapter 15 scripture, but the time we got to, that's Luke chapter 16, by the time we got into verse 19, Jesus began to share about the story of Lazarus and the rich man. You know, it says there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fed sumptuously every day. Every day he was good, he was boiling. You see, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels, you see, into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. I don't know if you see that. One died and was buried. The other died, you see, but his real life now took over. You see, he didn't have cars here, but he had angels. The rich man could not use his money to purchase any angel. So there was no transport fare, you see, from earth to heaven. He had to go to the grave. You see, but Lazarus had transport fare, you see. Now, the message here is not poverty. The message here is Jesus and his righteousness. You see, the Lazarus was focused on righteousness. And now his focus on righteousness is not the reason for his poverty. I'm not discussing poverty here. What I'm discussing here is that what men esteem, if you were to look in the flesh, you would esteem, look naturally, you would esteem the rich man more than Lazarus, but that's not true. The rich man could not buy angels to take him to heaven. The Bible says, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being, you see, on earth, Lazarus lifted up his eyes to him, because Lazarus was feeding from his table, you see, but in hell, but when he was in hell, he was the one that lifted up his eyes. You see, the dynamics had changed. Being in torment and seeing Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom, he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. You see, send Lazarus, send him. You see, Lazarus is a boy, but we can always send him. That he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remembers that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. So that they which will pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to you that would come from thence. Neither can they pass to us. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, like Saint Lazarus. You see, this guy's bully of Lazarus was not finished. He said, send Lazarus. to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that they may testify unto them, lest they also must come, also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. So it was just about hearing and doing the word of the Lord. It was not about poverty. And he said, nay, Abraham, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. He said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, don't forget, he still thinks that when something spectacular happens, you know, they will receive it. He says, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they hear, will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. So they have the books. Let them just read the books. They will be fine. But the people think that, no, let's get an encounter. You see, until you value the things that are in your reach, you are missing the Lord. When you value the things that are in your reach, you are missing the Lord. There are the Lord. What I'm telling you, everybody on this broadcast, child of God, what I'm telling you is that there is nothing that you want that the Lord has not provided you. It's in your stop this pressure of thinking there is something that you don't have that is coming from one realm, whether physical or spiritual thing. You have everything. You have everything. Sanctify your eye. Sanctify your eye. Sanctify it. And esteem the things of God. Stop esteeming the things of men. When you esteem the things of men, things will look far-fetched. When you esteem the things of men, you will be aware of lack. There is no lack, son of God. There is no lack, daughter of God. You have everything. It's with you, by your side. You're rich. Everything is in your reach. And if God wants to give you more, he's going to bring them to your reach. You would have no reason to be perturbed. Whenever we worry about something that we lack, it's because we have left the kingdom. We are off track. We are off track. Whenever we are worried about something we lack, about something we don't have, whenever worry sets in, your soul has believed a lie. You have all things. You have all things. You have all things. Open your eyes. Purify your eyes. A lot of simple things, easy things, are supernatural. They are from God. They are with you. That gari in your plastic, that last one, is from the Lord. It's the provision of Jesus. It's the provision of Jesus. That rice, with that last ingredient you want to use to cook it, oh my God, is the provision of Yeshua HaMashiach. It is the goodness of God. It is the goodness of God. It was the one that made it available. It's God that gave it to you. Don't esteem the ones you don't have. It's the Lord. That's your wife. It's the Lord that gave it to you. That gave her to you. That's your husband. That's your small house that God provided money for. Come on. Thank him for it. Thank him. Don't look at your brother's house. Don't look at your sister's house. Thank God for your house. And very soon he will move you to another one. But thank God. In all things, give thanks. That cloth is the Lord. That shirt that you have is the Lord that gave it to you. That is Jesus. That shoe somebody brought for you, it was an angel that sent that person to give you those shoes. Don't say, when will I buy my shoes?
Why are they always giving me? Don't say that. It's the Lord. That church is the Lord that gave you that church. Don't want the church that has screen that appears on television. No, that's your church. Love it. Love it. That's your pastor. That's your spiritual father. You don't look for Oyedepo. No, don't want Oyedepo. The one God gave you. That's it. There is nothing you don't have. Everybody who has the Son has all things. There is nothing you don't have. That rice that you made with just pepper and one little fish and you just, come on now. That was Jesus. That was Jesus. That was the Lord. That was the manifestation of the glory of God. That is the blessing of Abraham. And that is it. Thank God. Five loaves of bread and two fishes. Jesus said, thank you, Father. There is nothing I don't have. Nothing. There is nothing. I grow from grace to grace, light to light. I'm not moving from darkness to light. You are in light. You are in light already. You are not moving from darkness to light, light to light. The path of a righteous man. Where you are currently is light. Where you are currently is beautiful. See the beauty in it. See the beauty in it. See the beauty in it. Oh, Jesus. Matthew chapter 7, the last scripture I said I was going to show you. From verse 31. Jesus said, therefore, take no thought. Take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Don't stop talking about what you don't have. Take no thought. Let Jesus heal your thoughts. Let Jesus heal your thoughts. Let corruption come out of your thought process. Be delivered from lack. He says, therefore, do not worry. Don't say, what shall I? Let fear be banished from your soul. Watch out. Stop asking questions that hint that God is not powerful. That hint that God is not your father. That hint that God is not on your side. Don't think in a way. Don't think that way. Don't think that way. He says, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we be clothed? Don't. He says, because when you go this way, you are being like a Gentile. We'll pick it up from here tomorrow. Let me not rush it. But say thank you, Jesus, and let it come from the depth of your soul. Thanksgiving is the only way to pray. It's the only road of prayer. Thanksgiving is the only road of prayer. Any other road, you are not praying. It says, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. You can never enter his gate with worry. You can only enter his gate with thanksgiving. Matthew chapter 6. I will enter his gate with thanksgiving in my heart, and his courts with praise. And I will say, this is the day that the Lord has made. And I will rejoice. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving. When thanksgiving is not there, when you are worrying and you are anticipating in the flesh, when you are chasing what is not lost in the flesh, you are not in the spirit that way. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his gates. Come on, thank God. Come on, thank God. Come on, thank God. Thank God. Come on, thank God. Come on, brother, thank God. Oh, thank God. Oh, yes, Lord, thank God. I don't care where you are. I don't care what's going on. Thank God. Thank God. Come on. Come on. Come on, thank God. Thank God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, the greatest phrase in life, the most powerful words, thank you, Jesus. Oh, kabashamborokotia. Enter his gate with thanksgiving and his court with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. Oh, let me read Psalm 100 to you. Let me read the Psalms to you. The Psalm of our Father in the faith, David. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, O ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. 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 Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord is God. It is he that has made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures unto all generations. Psalm 100. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, I wish I can get 100 or 150 people, 200 people just screaming, lifting their hands, blessing the Lord, lifting holy hands, grateful hearts, saying, thank you, Jesus.